God's hand still on me. It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain, but the potter knows the clay. How much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's sufficient to his will. His plan to beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. Gotta be friend, I just came through that fire not too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. But on the hottest days I cried, isn't it about time? Oh, but the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's sufficient to his will. Let
a whole world of people that have never experienced that dew from heaven. I was talking to a brother today, and I told him, I said, he was asking me, how can people deny the Holy Ghost? People in the message, and I told him, I said, because they've never received it. Brother Tony,
that's right.
Back in the 1400s, we had a man that crossed the oceans and found a new continent.
Yeah.
He brought people back with him, and they settled on that new continent. But in the old world, there were still people that didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. They heard the stories, and they heard of the great lands and the forest that never ended, and there was mountains, and then past the mountains, there was more mountains.
Yeah.
And then past those mountains, there was more mountains, and there was great rivers, and they didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And no matter what you told them, until they saw it for themselves, they couldn't believe it. But I thank God tonight that we see it.
Amen.
And I'm going to, Brother Tony, I thank you, brother, for your confidence. He told me to take my liberty or something that's been on my heart. He and I were in the same church service here a few months ago, and something there has been bothering me. And I haven't had the liberty to speak of it until tonight. And I believe that the Lord has orchestrated this. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of St. John, we'll read 1 and 1. And this, being message believers, this is a very familiar scripture to each one of us. I believe that that we can all read this scripture and we have a great truth of it. But those great truths won't do you any good until they come alive.
Amen.
As long as you're just looking at black and white words and even knowing what those words mean, and until it does something inside of you, it doesn't do any good. St. John 1 and 1, and I'm going to read this the way Brother Branham read it many, many times. We'll read verse 1, and then we'll go to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yeah.
And if you'll be so gracious as to pray for me, we'll have prayer and we'll let you be seated then. Lord, I stand before your people tonight. I believe it's the Queen of Heaven. Father, you have something you want to say. Lord, give me the courage to not hinder you. Lord, the courage to step out of the way, to let your spirit be in control. God bless our pastor, Brother Tony, tonight. Lord, strengthen him as he leads this group. And I pray that you'll be on every heart and bless every person, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we yield this service to you now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I read that the way Brother Branham read it for a reason, and I'm glad to be here. I want to thank you for coming again. Thank Brother Tony for inviting me and having the confidence. And I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm not here to bring something to myself. The world is full of entertainment.
That's right.
I cannot compete with the least of the entertainers of the world. Myself, I have no ability. All the ability goes to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if we forget that, then we're doing ourselves a disfavor and we're hurting the people. So
yeah.
I just want you to know tonight, I'm so thankful. I'm one in a million.
Amen.
Amen.
I was listening to a tape the other night, and the prophet of God came and told me that I was one in a million.
Yeah, right.
And I was my heart, I've heard it all of my life, but it was just some reason, it was just coming true to me that night.
Yeah.
I am one in a million. And then he took it even further and he said there was a million of the male. Then he also said, but out of the female there was another million.
Yeah.
So I went from one in a million to 1 in 2 million.
Yeah.
All in just a few paragraphs of a message tape. And I really like that, it just did something to me that
Amen.
We are 1 in 2 million.
Right.
And you didn't give it to me. So you can't take it away from me.
That's right.
No church nowhere gave it to me, and no church can take it away from me.
Amen.
No preacher gave it to me, no preacher can take it away.
Amen.
No teacher, no theologist, nothing can take it away from me. Because
Amen.
God gave it to me. And see, He didn't give it to me on this earth.
Right.
I had it before I even got to this earth.
Amen.
I was listening to that tape and I found out that I had it before the foundation of the world began. I was there.
Amen.
And you know, I was thinking about how the things work, and I was looking around, and I've got some friends that are Baptists, and some are their Church of Christ, and some that are Methodists, and all the different, what they call faiths.
Yeah. Right.
And see, their faith is in the Methodist, or their faith is in the Pentecost, or their faith is in this. And then we find out there's some people, their faith is in the message.
Yeah, right.
And what is different between us and all of these people? You can go and look in a great crowd in this Christian nation, and especially in the South, and what we call the Bible Belt, that everybody, I went to Walmart today and there was thousands of people there.
Yeah.
And no doubt, every one of them at some point in their life, being in this area of the Bible Belt, has said, "I accept Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
At some point in their life that they were in a Bible school, or they were in a church, or they were somewhere and somebody said, "Repeat after me," and they said a sinner's prayer. Some of them may have knelt at an altar. Some may raise their hand and said they accepted Christ. And I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
We've all done the same thing. But what's different about my conversion than their conversion? If I go to an altar, Brother Tony, and I say, "I accept the Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm a sinner." And a Baptist man goes to an altar and he says, "I'm a sinner."
Right.
And we both raise up. But there's a difference between me and him. And what is that difference? It had nothing to do with me, Brother Tony. Brother Daniel, it didn't have anything to do with me or what I done or what I said.
Right.
The difference was when I went to that altar, when God came to me, there was already a part of him inside of me that was placed there before the foundation of the world. And that's the difference. That thing inside of me came alive, and that other man, when he comes to an altar and he gives his heart to God, then he'll be judged by his works.
Right.
But I won't be judged by my works. I'll be judged by the message of the hour and whether or not I believed it.
That's right.
What's the difference? Because the Word of God became to the Word of God that's inside of me.
Amen.
See, there's millions and billions of people all over the world. They come to an altar. They say, "I accept Jesus." But there's nothing inside of them to come alive.
Right.
There's only death inside of them.
Right.
But for some reason, 1 in 2 million, I was chosen.
Yeah.
Before the foundation of the world, I can't explain it. I don't know why. But see, I was the thought of God.
Amen. Right.
I've been taught all of my life that we were thoughts of God. And, you know, Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." So, you know, if we think somebody says we're a thought of God, we're not a figment of God's imagination.
Right.
See, we try to look at that and we try to think of a thought of God. Well, I think of things. And God thought of things. Well, there's a big difference between my thoughts and God's thoughts.
That's right. Right.
See, in the beginning, before the beginning, when God had thoughts, and those thoughts were us.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said that we were the thoughts of God. See, I've had thoughts. I've been thinking about adding on to my house. For several years, I've thought about going 20 foot. Then I changed my mind and I thought about going out 18 foot.
Yeah.
I thought about having 2 rooms in it. I thought about having 1 room in it. See, God's thoughts are not like that.
Yeah.
I've thought about building a boat, but there's no boat.
Yeah.
When God thought about something, it was the reality.
Yeah, right.
Whatever God's thoughts are the reality.
Right.
And that reality, it may not be into appearance yet that we can see it, but it's just as real as if it's already there.
Amen.
And we weren't just figments of God thinking like we think. Mm-hmm. When God thought of a people, there was a people there.
Right.
And how do we know that? Because Brother Brandon went beyond the curtain of time one day and he saw those people there.
Right.
And it wasn't just, all of my life I thought they were dead people. All of my life, I heard that story about it. And he goes and he talks about it. He saw Sharon Rose there and she was dead. And he saw Hope there and she was dead. And I thought these were all dead people. And then somebody come to me one day and they was testifying. They said, "My mother was in the meeting. And Brother Branham, it was her birthday. And Brother Branham come to her and he said,
sister, would you like to have a birthday present? And she said, yes, I would. And he said, when I went beyond the curtain of time, I saw you there.
Amen.
And that testimony began to change the way I thought.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, hold on a second. And here comes Satan attacking this great revelation that come to me. Here comes Satan attacking that. And he said, well, Brother Reynolds never said that. So I start looking into this testimony that he gave beyond the curtain of time. I always thought he had a vision.
Yeah.
But he said it wasn't a vision. Right. He said it was not a vision because I was here and my body was there.
Right.
It was not a vision. He said, I actually went there.
Yeah.
I went beyond the curtain of time. And he said, I was laying in my bed and I was kind of down. He said, I was 50 something years old and I got to thinking, oh boy, if you're going to do something for God, you better start now.
That's right.
He said, I won 2 million souls to Christ. And he said, but if I'm going to do something for God, I better start now. And he said, I started getting kind of down, thinking about what more do I need to do?
Yeah.
And that's when the angel come to him and said, would you like to go beyond the curtain of time? And then he makes a statement that I've never, ever caught before. He said, and the Lord let me see you all there.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
And when I read that, something... A piece of word that had been laying in me before the foundation of the world, that little piece of word came alive.
Yeah.
Right. And it joined all them other little pieces
Amen.
Of word that were coming alive.
That's
See, right. all of them parts are coming together. And one of these days, all of those word body parts will come together.
Yeah.
And this body will become a glorified body.
Amen.
That's right.
And I got to thinking about, I was there. When a prophet of God walked through there and he said, all of those, they said there was millions of people and they come up and they put their arms around him.
Yep.
I don't know if I was one of those people. But I do know this. Brother Branham said that he asked, he said, are these my people? And they said, these are your people. And he said, these are all Branhams? And they said, no, these are the people that believed your message. And he said, is Paul's people here? And they said, yes. And he said, well, I preached the same thing Paul preached.
Yeah.
And he said, millions of voices rang out.
That's right.
We're resting on that.
Yeah.
Millions of voices. He said, all of them people. And if I was there, one of those voices was my voice.
Yeah.
When Brother Branham said, I preached what Paul preached, my voice rang out and said, I'm resting on that.
Yeah.
So from that time until this time and until the eternity meets this body, I'm still resting on that.
Yeah.
Because I got a prophet of the age that didn't just go across the curtain of time and bring back, like, you remember when Paul went?
Right.
Paul went, he said, a man went, he couldn't even say that it was himself. He said, amen.
Right.
He said, a man went to the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and there was words uttered there that was unlawful for me to repeat.
Yeah.
Paul went to the same place. Paul seen his people there, but he come back to the earth and he couldn't tell them.
Right.
It was a great mystery.
Right.
But in this day, there's no mystery anymore. That mystery, the seals have been opened.
Right.
Our prophet didn't have to say that the words were unlawful.
Right.
He could sit there and say that my chair was there.
Yeah.
That old reclining chair that they took away from me, it was there.
Yeah.
And my wife that has been dead for all of these years could say, Billy Paul, or Billy, they'll never take this chair away from you.
Yeah.
See how God cares about the little things in your life?
Amen.
Here's this man, he goes beyond the curtain of time. He steps into heaven. And there's a chair there. Just a simple thing. But he loved that chair.
Yeah.
Right.
And God thought so much of his prophet. And this prophet is not above me. He's not above you.
Right.
There's God's no respecter of persons.
Right.
I've got a chair waiting on me in heaven.
Amen.
I've got a mother waiting on me in heaven.
Amen.
And all I got to do is speak her name. And because I have a prophet in this age, I know that I can speak her name and she's standing right beside me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share those things with you.
Amen.
But... let's go back to St. John. And Brother Branham always said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he would always say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But he wasn't leaving out the Scriptures in between. And so I wanted to go in here and see, what is in between these Scriptures? And so I found verse 12. Is in between, in the beginning was the Word. And then in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And Brother Branham tied those two together. But in between those two is another verse. Verse 11 says, and he came to his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh in Jesus Christ. In verse 12, we see other sons of God.
Right.
And he gave them power to become the sons of God. How many received him tonight?
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
He said, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
Verse 13 is a very clear statement that these people that become the sons of God, that he gave power to become the sons of God, something had to happen to these people.
Amen.
Something had to happen to these people because they were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man. They weren't born of their mother or their father, but they were born of God.
Yeah.
And so something had happened to them. And
that's right.
By the grace of God, we'll talk about that tonight. Brother Branham preaches a message in 1965. He said, God's power to transform. And he reads the definition that he found of what transform means. He says, it's something that's made different than what it was.
Yeah.
Its character and everything has been changed. Mm-hmm. So the prophet of God said, if something is transformed, its character has to change.
Right.
Everything has to change. St. John says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now these people that received him, that had the power to become sons of God, they weren't becoming something they never were.
Right.
See, these sons existed in a state that they were not sons in this state. But see, he gave them power to become sons of God.
Amen.
What he gave them power to do is become what they really were.
Amen.
Before they were brought to this earth, and they were born of blood and by the will of the flesh.
Right.
They were born by the lust of their mother and their father.
Right.
They were born by the act of a man and a woman. And God never intended for his sons to be brought that way, but by the perfect word of God to be spoken. And Adam and Eve would have brought forth all the names on the book of redemption. But see, we were brought forth in a different way.
Right.
Because of the fall, we'll not have to go and rehash all of those things, but the fall in the garden brought us down to this lowly state. And then man had no longer the power to speak the word of God and create a life. Mm-hmm. They couldn't read the book of redemption because the book of redemption was sealed up.
Yeah.
See, and I'm so grateful that when that book was sealed up, my name was already written in the blood of God. But the thing is, there came a problem. Here's the sons of God, it's on the earth, but they can't become what they really are because of this birth that we have.
Yeah.
So there had to become a new birth. There had to come something to transform. And look at Romans 12. You don't have to turn there. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be you not conformed to this world. See, Satan doesn't have the power to create.
Right.
He can only pervert what God's already created. So what he's done is he's took us, and by his power of persuasion, by his power of lust and all these things, he's perverted us into the what we are, sinful man that needs a redeemer.
Right.
But there's hope for us because he says, be you transformed. And how are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind. And how is that renewing your mind? It's let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to call himself equal with God.
Right.
Not Brother Branham said over and over and over, Jesus was God.
Yeah.
Jesus was God. And there's a statement he makes, and he says in Anointed Ones at the end time, he even says that if you have to believe that Jesus is God, or you're not even saved. He said, not a second person or a third person, but God himself. He said, if you don't believe that, you have the wrong spirit.
Right.
Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our mind has to become like Christ's mind, that we are the sons of God.
Yes.
And to become the sons of God, something has to change.
Right.
Something has to change. Now, Brother Branham said that the world was without form, it was void, it was nothing. There was complete darkness and chaos. Sounds like my life, Brother Tony. Brother Branham was talking about the earth and how it was without form, it was void, it was darkness, it was just, there was nothing. If you were standing there to see and God said, let there be, and he created an earth, the doubters would have looked at that and said, what has this man done? What has God done? Look at this mess that the church has got into. Yeah. Look at this mess. But see, those thoughts that were there, and whatever you were here, you are there. Brother Branham said, whatever you are on this earth, you'll be there.
Yeah,
and whatever you were, whatever you'll be then, you were before then.
That's
because
right.
Eternity's a circle now.
Yeah.
Eternity's a circle. And those people before the foundation of the world are the same people after the foundation of the world. Time is just a little spot.
Right.
So before the foundation of the world and after the world is over is all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all in that eternity. And he said, if you are a prophet here, and he took the prophet Samuel when the witch of Endor brought her up,
yeah,
he was still a prophet and he was still prophesying.
That's right.
Brother Tony, it really bothers me when people say that when Brother Branham, when our dead saints come back, that he won't be a prophet anymore. When he plainly said that if you're a prophet here, you're a prophet there.
Right.
And he said that the mysteries of God would fold out through eternity.
Right.
They would unfold throughout eternity. So how am I going to know what those mysteries are throughout eternity? He said, we'll sit there and we'll watch God being unfolded. There's going to be prophets there. Our prophet will be there and he'll still be a prophet.
Yeah.
So if he's a prophet then, he was a prophet then. Those thoughts of God were standing there and God said, let there be.
Yeah.
And here comes this ball of confusion. And here we are, we're these thoughts of God, we're the attributes of God, we are a people standing there looking at this and we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Confusion comes through the people and people are saying, what has God done? I don't understand this. And some of them fell away. Some of those sons of God fell away. Some of the a third stars of the heaven fell away with doubt.
Yeah.
But you know what? One of those thoughts rose up.
Yeah.
And he's looking at that ball of confusion And he starts preaching a message called Future Home.
Yeah.
And all of those thoughts, they start understanding that there's a future home.
Yeah.
And then God says, let there be. And he brings a spirit over that. And Brother Branham says that that complete darkness and chaos, he said the Spirit of God moved, changed total chaos into a Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Now think about that. What was a ball of chaos? God created something and it looked like a ball of chaos to us, but God had his thoughts.
Yeah.
God's thoughts. God don't get a better thought.
Right.
And we get better thoughts. We think about how to build a shop, Brother Tony, and we'll start, we think about how to do this and we think of a better way to do that. Well, God's first thought is the only thought.
Right.
And he said, God took something that's nothing and made something out of it. Mm-hmm. He took something that was nothing. And Brother Brandon compares us to the world. It was without form. It was void.
Right.
He said, but something had to change.
Yeah.
He said, when you come into this gospel of the truth, something had to change. All that void and that form of darkness, something had to separate the light from the darkness. Something had to separate the flesh me from the spirit me and start discerning those things and taking those things out because Christ cannot dwell in an unclean vessel.
Amen.
You know, I'm full of mistakes. I stand before you tonight. I'm full of mistakes. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and at the same time, I'm a son of God. How do I explain that? I can't explain that, Brother Tony. I can't explain how I can be a sinner full of grace and a son of God all at once. But all I know is that the power of God came to me one night at a coffee table. It don't have to be a church service. It don't have to be in front of a preacher. But at a coffee table, the God of heaven came down, discerned my heart. A woman stood over there and prophesied over me, and I gave my heart to God.
Yeah.
That was the moving of the power of God.
Yeah,
see,
man.
And people are denying that movement of the power of God in this day.
Right,
yeah.
That's right.
And see, something had to change. Brother Branham said you have to transform. You have to be changed, and you have to be changed by the Word of God.
Yeah.
Not by the Word of man's knowledge. Not by the teaching of false doctrines or these things, but it's the Word of God that changes a man. He said that Word is preached over a man, and if there's something inside of him to receive it, he'll receive it gladly.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing a change happen. Some people change overnight.
Uh-huh.
Some people, it takes a few years, but that's the individual. Some people, when that Word of God is preached over them, something inside of them rejects it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing there to receive it.
That's right.
And that's why you see people come in and come out, and there's never a change, because there's nothing there to. But we don't give up on these people, Brother Tony.
No.
We don't cast these people aside, because Brother Branham said, we don't know who they are.
That's right.
We don't know who they are. You know, and a lot of people say, Brother Branham said, you can shake hands with somebody and know that they got the Holy Ghost. But a man can have the Holy Ghost and die and go to hell.
Right.
Now that's a mystery that has been revealed. He said that Holy Ghost can come and anoint a man.
Right.
But he's never sealed away with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So you can shake hands with a man, he can prophesy, speak in tongues, and heal, and all of these things, and it'll be the absolute power of God working in his life, and him die and go to hell because he's never sealed away the soul, because he doesn't have the soul of God in there to be sealed with.
That's right.
Something has to change. The message of the hour is a message of change.
Yeah.
Message of the hour is a message of transformation.
Right.
The message of the hour didn't come so that people can come and be comfortable with what state they're in.
Yeah. Right.
I don't believe that a son of God in this message can stand and come to church and come to church and get to a point where he's satisfied where he's at. If a man ever gets satisfied where he's at and he thinks he knows something, he doesn't know what he ought to know.
Yep.
That man is stopped. And
that's
every
right.
time you stop, Brother Branham said, you stop and you put a period there,
that's
and
right.
he dies right there.
That's right.
So when you come to church and you come to church and it just becomes coming to church, I'm not satisfied with just coming to church
Amen.
Anymore.
Right.
I'm not satisfied with coming to church with a problem and leaving with the same problem.
Right.
I'm not satisfied with my children coming to church sick and leaving sick.
Right.
But something has to change.
Amen.
And so I'm getting sick and tired of just coming to church and going, singing the songs and hearing the preacher and going home.
Yeah, right. Come on.
And you're twofold a child of hell, according to the scripture, when that happens.
Yeah.
But you come to church. And you come to church, and you come to church, and it becomes an obligation to just come to church.
Yeah.
The preachers come to church, and they preach. It becomes an obligation. They got to put something together.
Yeah.
Instead of letting the Holy Spirit come and put something together.
That's
they
right.
got to build this sermon. They got to come up with some knowledge. And what they'll do now is, Brother Tony, they'll get on the internet, and they'll search out all of these other teachers that's out there. And they search this teacher, and what does this guy think about it? And that guy think about it.
Right.
What does God think about it?
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what God thinks about it. He told our prophet what he thinks about it.
Right.
If you want to know what the word of God is, get into this message.
Amen.
Get off the internet. Quit worrying about this brother and that brother. And
Amen.
Get down to the word of God.
Amen.
He said, play those tapes in the quietness of your home.
Right.
It'll transform your home.
Amen.
But we got too many homes that's satisfied where they're at.
Right.
They're not putting a token over their home. They want to be a message believer, but their life betrays them.
Right. Right.
See, that first age, he said, He said, you hate that Nicolaitan spirit, which I also hate.
Uh-huh.
See, the next age, they took in the Nicolaitan spirit. And he said, I hate that spirit. What is the Nicolaitan spirit?
Mm-hmm.
The Nicolaitan spirit was when the preachers, when they had a holy man.
Yeah.
Brother Branham explains all of this in the church age. He said they had a holy man. They had a priest that had to be holy. And he had to be sanctified. And he had to wear a certain garment. And he had to do all of these things. And he's the only one that handled the Word of God. He's the only one that he could even read the Bible.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church would not allow their people to even have a Bible.
Right.
They didn't want them to read the Bible. They killed the people that would translate it into English.
That's right.
See, it was the priest that was dominating the laity.
Right.
It was the priest that was putting the laity down in the lower level and lifting themselves up.
Yeah.
But see, what happens is the same thing is happening today, but it's reversed.
Uh-huh.
It's not the priest that's putting herself over the people and pushing the people down. It's the people that's lifting a preacher up,
yeah.
and they want their pastor to live holy. They want their preacher to live holy. They want the evangelist to pray all night, but they'll go home and watch movies.
Right.
See, they want him to live holy. They don't want him to have the internet. They don't want him to watch movies, but they'll do it themselves.
Right.
See, it's the people that's bringing a Nicolaitan spirit to themselves. They want the man of God. They'll have conniption fits if they saw their preacher walk into a movie house.
Yeah.
But they got a movie house in their living room.
Right. Think about it.
But see, they'll take on that Nicolaitan spirit and nothing changes. The pastor has to live holy. The pastor has to pray three times a day. The pastor has to lay up all night praying for your children. That's why you can rest at night, because there's a pastor doing it. You know, the pastor gets tired sometimes.
Right.
It's time for us to be praying for our people.
Yeah.
It's time for us to be praying for our family and not laying everything on a priest and making a holy man out of him.
Yeah.
The Word of God says you lift a man up and I'll cast him down.
Right.
And people's wondering, oh my God, there's pastors falling here and there's pastors falling there. Why are them pastors falling? It's because the people are lifting them up into a place they don't belong.
Right.
They lift them up so high until they think these are holy men of God. I've got this pastor and he's got this great congregation. And next thing you know, God cuts them down.
Yeah, that's right.
And we'll sit and make fun of those pastors and talk about how they lost the message and they did this and they did that. And it's all God right in the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get all upset and scream and holler at you, but these things are on my heart. I can't help it. It just bubbles up and bubbles
Amen.
Up and I got to get rid of it.
Amen.
I can't stand here, you know, if a man of God loves you, he's going to sit there and he's going to tell you straight what the truth is.
That's right.
Amen.
If a man of God, Brother Branham said he's a hireling if he won't tell you the truth.
That's right.
He said Jesus said that the thief has come, he didn't come by the door of the sheepfold, which is Christ. But he comes some other way and he's a thief and a robber. We got too many thieves and robbers in the message of the hour. What are they thieving? They're stealing the power of God right out of the churches.
Right.
They're teaching false doctrine. They're telling the people that the Holy Ghost is for another age. Yeah. They're telling them they don't have to live right. That you can cut your hair, you can bob your hair.
Right.
That you can wear makeup and they're making a filth out of the bride of Christ.
That's exactly right.
See, but the thing is, there's no power in that life.
Right.
You know, if you wanted a gospel without power, just go down there to the Church of Christ. They don't believe that either.
Yeah.
See, the Church of Christ says that the power of the Holy Ghost for another age. But now we got modern day message people that are Church of Christ people, and they're saying that the power of the Holy Ghost is for a different age.
Right.
That the transforming power of the Holy Ghost is for Brother Branham. That healing was for Brother Branham.
Right.
Discernment of the spirits was for Brother Branham. That miracles were for Brother Branham. But there is a Church of Christ spirit that's creeping in.
Yeah, that's right.
The Holy Ghost is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Branham said if you have the Holy Ghost today, it'll manifest the same works
that's
as
right.
Peter and Paul manifested.
Amen.
I want to read you this here. He said, there's only one gate. He said the Word is God and God was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, which is that gate. He says, that's the gate that I meet you to worship when you follow the commandments of God. He said, therefore tonight, just come and if tonight all you've done is said, I offer Jesus Christ my life and you've never received the Holy Ghost, you must come into it.
Yeah.
You must do it. You must grow into it. He says that three, must.
Right.
1965, I didn't dig a quote out from 1947 that some man can say that Brother Graham outgrew the Holy Ghost. This is when 12/5/1965, things that are to be one of the last messages that he preaches. He says you must come to the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You must grow into it. He says, ask God to power word on top of word until you become into the full stature of a son or daughter of God.
Yeah.
How do you become that son of God that he talks about in John 1? You've got to have word upon word. And how do you know word upon word if you're not listening to the word upon word? And you want the preacher and you want the pastor to go study, but you'll never listen to it, tell you. God help us all tonight.
Amen.
That's right.
He said, taking the things of the world. He said, this is the prophet of God, and he's quoting the scripture. If you love the world and the things of the world, it's because the love of God's not even in you.
Yeah.
You've been deceived.
Yeah.
He said, you've got the love of the world there, and it's deceiving you. The devil has. See, he's not talking to sinners. He's not talking to the seed of Satan. He's talking to true believers, and he's trying to get them to realize that they have been deceived, and it's time to get out of that.
Amen.
It's time to wake up. The night is far spent. It's time for awakening to come to the church. Where's the power of God?
Amen.
Why are we running to this and we run into that? Why aren't we running to the Word of God?
Right.
Our children get sick and we run to the doctor. We get sick and we run to the doctor. Why aren't we running to an altar somewhere? Why aren't we getting the oil and anointing the heads of the people and saying that the Word of God says, lay your hands on the sick and the sick shall recover.
Right.
Amen.
He says you love the world and it's deceiving you. He said the devil has piled things onto there. He says ask God to pile word upon word But then he says the devil has piled the things of the world. He's heaping the world upon our head. He's heaping internet. He's heaping cell phones. He's heaping social networks. He's heaping entertainment. He's heaping these things upon our head. And each time he heaps something on our head, it pushes the word of God right out of us.
Amen.
It takes the victory of God right out of your life. I didn't want to mention these things, but they're on my heart, Brother Tony. Me and Brother Tony was in a meeting back in the... I'm not going to say what it was. I don't want to call anybody out by name. Me and Brother Tony was at the same service, and we walked in there, and we walked into the pastor's office. There was five ministers in there, and the pastor, he sat in the desk. He sat behind his desk in his chair, Brother Tony. You remember this. And he started saying, "I've got sugar diabetes." He said, "I can't control my temper because I have sugar diabetes." He said, "I get mad at people and I explode on my son and my wife and they tell me your sugar is getting low." He said, "There's nothing I can do about it." He said, "I'm going to die with it." He said, "My father had it and he died with it. I've got it and I'm going to die with it." He said, "Now my son's got it. And my son's going to die of it." He said, "The sad thing is," he said, "my granddaughter's got it." He said, "My granddaughter has got it and she showed the symptoms younger than any one of us." And he said, "So she's going to die before I do, probably." And I was sitting there, or standing there, and I had my back against a bookshelf there, and I rested my hand back, and I felt something. I turned back, and there was a leather-bound seal book. And I picked it up, and I was thinking, I was grieved in my heart, and I was thinking, here lays the seal book with dead skin wrapped around it in this pastor's office. Seal book of the revelation of the seven seals of who Christ is in our day. Mm-hmm. And here is a message preacher that claims this message. And he's saying, "My granddaughter's going to die of diabetes." What happened to the power of God to deliver that girl? Yeah. How can he wave the cowardly flag of defeat? How can he wave a white flag and say, "I surrender"? When the Word of God said that this promise is to you, is to your children and your children's children, even as far off as our Lord God shall call. And he's sitting there and he's saying, "Diabetes is for me, it's for my children. Diabetes is for my children's children, even as far off as many as the devil of diabetes shall call."
Yeah. Right.
And it just pricked my heart. And what have we come to in the message of the hour when Brother Branham said we should be, that the third pull would put limbs back on bodies?
Amen.
And here we got a man that's bowing at the altar of a diabetic demon.
Yeah.
He's been defeated by that. He's been deceived by that thing. Because
he
doesn't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I got to talking to him. Got to communicating with him and another man in this church. And I was trying to figure out what was going on. And he told me, he said, "The Holy Ghost is for a different age." And he's got a whole group of people, and a man preached the Word of God, and some of the older sisters there were shouting the victory. They were rising to their feet, and they were saying amen. They're hungering. They're starving for the Word of God, and they got a preacher that doesn't even believe in the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Brother Branham said it. He said, "When you come to church, you'll leave better or you'll leave worse."
That's right.
I want to ask you tonight, do you want to leave better? Or do you want to leave worse? Or do you want to come in here with the same problems that you had last time you were here? Do you want to have the same defeats as the last time you were here? Do you want to have the same demons hanging on you? Do you want to have the same complexes that you came in here and leave with those complexes? I'm not satisfied doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not satisfied having a problem with my marriage and leaving with a problem with my marriage.
Right.
When the Word of promise is laid out before us, all we got to do is receive it tonight.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is a promise. It's to your children and your children's children, even as far off as the Lord our God shall call. But this message is under attack.
Right.
The You see, we've always put that attack. We always talk about, we want to sit here, we want to preach about the Methodists and the Baptists and all of that. They don't bother me. What bothers me is the people that take the message book of the hour and they take it off of the shelf. They take the pictures off the walls. They say, we can't mention the name of brother. I had a message preacher ask me to preach, and he said, but we don't say the name of brother William Branham. I said, why not, brother? He said, it becomes a stumbling stone to some of those. I said, thank God for that stumbling stone, because the chief cornerstone was rejected. It became the chief stone, and it became a stumbling stone to those that don't believe. They say that the name of William Branham has become a stumbling stone to this age. The name of William Branham ought to be a name that you can look up to and say, that's a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Right. That's what I'm living to be. That's what I want to be up to. The same power that he had. Yeah. If he got the same Holy Ghost in this church, the Holy Ghost didn't die in a car wreck in 1965, right. Brother James. Brother Daniel, that Holy Ghost didn't die in that car wreck back there. It was God taking his prophet home, because it's time for the people. He said, I must decrease so that he can increase. He didn't say, I must decrease so that the power of God can decrease. He said, I must decrease so he can increase.
Yep.
There ought to be a church of God in this hour. The church of the living God ought to be rising up. They ought to be stomping the devil out of the Amen. Devils ought to be unwelcome in this room. When you walk in this room, if you got a devil on you, that thing ought to be quaking in its boots, knowing that somebody come prayed up.
Yep.
Right. But what we got today is we've been deceived by the devil. We got too much entertainment. We got too much things in the world to catch up of. We got too many social networks to catch up with. We got this, we got that. We're more worried about our job.
Man.
You know, Jesus was walking by one day, and there was a man that made his living with a fishing net.
Right.
That was his only means of support. That's how he brought food home to his table. Jesus walked by and he said, follow me. And them men, they laid their net right where they laid. And they followed Christ. It's time today for some men that will dedicate their life. And if it comes down to it, lay their job down. Lay mother down. Lay father down. Let the dead bury the dead. Let your old friends become old friends. Let the old past become an old past. Quit hanging to them, to that past, and get out of that thing. Move on with God.
Amen.
We got a carport at church. We got an awning that you can drive up, and with this raining, you can drive up there and get out and go into the church without getting wet. But the underneath of that awning is framed with metal, Brother Tony, and the pigeons get in there. The pigeons build it's C-shaped metal channel, and the pigeon, it's a perfect place for the pigeons to get in there, and they build nests. So every spring, we have 4 or 5 nests in there. And for some reason, they like to get right up in the peak, right over the door. But when you got a 3 or 4 pigeons nest up there, you got a mess. And I'm one of the officers in the church, and the deacons, and one of us will stand there at the door and greet people and make sure somebody might need a car parked or whatever. So we're at the door, and for years, we've been talking about this. For years, we've been trying to figure out, you know, when somebody comes early and they got to scrape the mess off the floor before you can, you know, nobody wants to walk through that mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so every Sunday, we go through the same thing. Somebody has to come early and scrape the mess aside and clean it up and get the pieces of straw and all of that out of there and the feathers and run the birds off so they won't fly out when somebody's walking through there and get it on their hair or something. And then we do all that on Sunday, and then the next Sunday they're right back.
Yep.
Inspiration of God struck on me one night, and I stand in front of the church, and I said, you know, we got them birds. We got that bird problem out there. Every Sunday, everybody comes early. We got people comes early, and they clean the mess up. Mm-hmm. They get rid of the birds so we can have church. I said, that's a problem with some of us. We got birds in our life. They're making, they're roosting up in our life.
Come on.
We got birds. And every Sunday, we got to get rid of the bird mess. Uh-huh. We got to get rid of the birds. We got to get them out. We don't want birds so we can come to church. Right. We can come to church and not have to step through the bird mess. But the problem is, Monday comes along.
Yeah.
Nobody's at church. So the birds come back.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday comes along. Nobody shows up. So they're back. All day Monday, all day Tuesday, there's the birds.
Yeah.
Wednesday comes along and about half the church shows up to clean the bird mess out. Well, then Thursday comes along, and there's nobody there. Here comes the birds back.
Right.
Friday comes along. Here comes the birds back. The birds are there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. We got another mess. You know, if somebody was there every day, we might get rid of those birds.
That's right.
But see, the problem is we got a Sunday religion.
Uh-huh.
We want to get all cleaned up and get run the birds off. We can't have birds roosting. We got to get the feathers out and the mess out. We got to. We come to church.
Uh-huh.
All the roosting birds are gone, and we think we're all right. And then Monday comes along. Here comes the birds back.
Come on.
What we need to do is get rid of this Sunday religion we got, this Saturday religion we got, this Thursday religion we got, whatever day you have a service on, but every day ought to be consecrated to the Lord God. Well, what is the roosting birds? The roosting birds is the thoughts and the things that are unlike God.
Right.
And Brother Branham said those things can fly over, but when you let them roost, then you've got a problem, you've got a mess. He said, don't let them even roost. He said, they're going to fly over.
Yeah.
But if nobody's there on Monday, they're going to roost. Nobody's there on Tuesday. They're going to roost. And who's the nobody? There's no Christ there.
Right.
See, we come and we feel the anointing and we cry and we love the preaching of the Word of God on Sunday.
Yeah.
But what about Monday? Right. When a situation at work, it seems like the devil just attacks on. But why does the devil attack on Monday? Why the whole world claims that Monday is the worst day. Even unbelievers hate Monday.
Yeah.
Because Satan, for 6,000 years, has been taking the day after the people's service, and he's been attacking them that much harder.
Right.
Even the heathens recognize that Satan is an attack on Monday.
Yep.
Even the ones that so Satan has got that program so down that he just attacks everybody, and we just think it's a common thing. Well, it's Monday, so we're going to have a bad day. Everybody has a bad day on Monday. We go to work, it's bad, everything's piled up and all of that, and all it is Satan is attacking the whole world. Because there's a little group of people. They come to church on Sunday. People get delivered. They hear the Word of God. The Spirit, the anointing gets on them. And then Monday comes along and Satan's trained to attack on that day.
Right.
Because we let our guard down.
Yep.
What we're doing is we're letting our guard down on Monday. We're letting our guard down on Tuesday. We ought to be just as much on fire on Monday.
That's right.
On Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. There ought not be one day esteemed above another day.
Amen.
The only difference is we come together.
Right.
You know what? If we dedicate Monday and Tuesday to the Lord like we do Saturday and Sunday, we would have some awesome Saturday and Sundays.
Right.
If we would dedicate ourselves to the Lord and witness this gospel, this room would fill up.
Yeah.
There would be saints of God shouting the victory.
Yeah.
There would be no devils hanging on the wall. They wouldn't be. They couldn't even come in this room.
Right.
See, people don't believe in the power of God. They think that was for Brother Branham. But that's for us.
That's right.
I want to read you. In 1964, looking unto Jesus, Brother Branham said, the mechanics don't run the church. It's the dynamics.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost gets into this word. It's not a seminary that teaches you all the theology and the Greek interpretation, but it's the dynamics of the Holy Ghost in there to set that afire. You got to have the word. But without the dynamics of the Holy Ghost, without that fire, it's just a gas can with no fire in it. You got a car and you put gas in it, and he said you got pistons and you got all the mechanics there. You got a transmission with all the gears in it. You got a key there that you can turn.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta have the Holy Ghost to bring a spark to it. He said it takes mechanics and dynamics.
That's right.
The Word and the Spirit. Nobody's against the Word. You can go, Brother Tony, you can go and take a message on the sixth seal to any message church in this, but they'll accept it.
Yeah.
You can talk about horse riders. You can talk about the constellations and the moons and you can talk about the pyramids, and you can talk about all these things that Brother Branham taught. You can talk about 70 weeks of Daniel. You can talk about all of these mysterious things. But get to teaching about God on the level where people understand. Get talking about the power of God to transform somebody. Get talking about the power of God to take high-heeled shoes off a woman. Get talking about the power of God to take those hanging pants off the boys. Get talking about the power of God to get rid of the movies and the television and all that stuff.
Right.
All of a sudden, churches start shutting down on you.
Yeah.
Because what it is, it's getting down where they live and it starts convicting them.
Yeah. Right.
And we had a pastor say, we don't want you to preach Mark 16, because some people don't have that in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're preaching Mark 16, they come under conviction.
Yep.
And we don't want our people convicted. Well, that's the idea of it.
Right.
You should be preaching Mark 16 because Brother Branham said, if you're a believer, these signs shall follow you.
He said,
too many people are saying that was for the apostles. I had a pastor tell me, I've been talking about ever since January, I've been talking to these pastors and these preachers and trying to talk to them and tell them that where they're wrong and they won't listen to me. I'm nobody to them. I don't have a big internet ministry. I don't have a lot of money. They're not going to listen to me, but I still got to tell them.
Yeah.
I can't sit there and watch somebody dying and on the way to hell and sit there and just watch them go. I got a love in my heart.
Yeah.
Why do I have that love? Because Christ is in there. But I was talking to him, and the man flat out said, Mark 16 is not for us. It was for the Jews. It was for Peter and James and John to go out and declare Christ. And I said, what do you think we're doing? We're declaring Christ. Now, Mark 16, Brother Branham said, that was our commission.
Yeah.
And they just won't believe it.
Yeah.
That pastor, he said, well, you can't preach Mark 16 here because it brings my people under conviction because they don't have that. That's the idea.
Right.
That's why we preach these things so hard. That's why we get up here and our face gets red and our voice gets strained. Because we love the people.
Yeah.
You don't have to come here and be defeated by Satan.
Yeah.
You don't have to grow up and a lot of people are saying our kids have got to go out and experience the world and then come back. No, they don't.
No.
A 12-year-old girl on the Azusa Street spoke in tongues with the power of God. They can still do it today. There's no reason a 12-year-old Jesus Christ stood in the temple and confounded the wise and the prudent. There's no reason that our 12-year-old boys shouldn't be able to teach the gospel of Christ in this day with the same anointing.
Right, that's right.
But what we want to do is we want to make this a grown-up gospel that the world, the pull of Satan is too powerful for our children to resist. Ah, my Lord Jesus is more powerful than every demon in hell.
Amen.
He said that when the powers of Satan would come against you, I'll raise up a standard.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, people are wanting to lower the standard.
Yeah.
Well, what is the standard? It's the power of God. See, with that standard comes a higher standard of living. You know, the easy way for us to see it is when you lower the standard, the dress gets lower.
Yeah.
When you lower the standard, the life gets looser. When you lower the standard, the television starts coming back in. When you lower the standard, the movie house starts entering back in. When you lower the standard, your struggles start coming back in. When you lower the standard, people start talking about getting divorced. There ought not be a person in the message of the hour that even would say their name divorce.
Amen.
That divorce is a devil.
That's right.
People in the message are saying that you can get divorced and get remarried and all of those things. And Brother Branham said that it's okay, live as you are. That he said that when he talked about those things, he said, because you were taught wrong.
Yeah.
But we are not taught wrong. We're
right.
taught to have the overcoming power of the Lord Jesus in our lives.
Amen.
That's for your sicknesses. That's for your devils. That's for your complexes. And that's also for your marriage. There's a healing for a marriage.
Yeah.
There's a healing for sickness. There's a healing for a mind problem.
That's
There's
right.
a healing for a heart problem. There's a healing for a spiritual problem. There's a healing for a family problem.
Right.
See, people don't believe in the healing power of the Lord Jesus anymore, Brother Tony. They don't want the power and demonstration. What it is people are scared. They're afraid. You know, Brother Branham said that somebody can stand up and speak in tongues and they're going to reveal what you was doing last Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
People don't want that because of what they were doing last Thursday night. They don't
right.
want that brought out.
Yep.
But see, you shouldn't. All you got to do is repent of that thing.
Right.
Brother Branham said that a woman coming through the prayer line and she was standing there and there was another woman, a few people in front of her in that prayer line, and he said, this problem, see, you've been smoking. And that woman said, oh, he saw that in her life. Well, I've been smoking. Lord, I'm sorry. Well, she gets up there, and the Lord, Brother Branham deals with her and never says anything about her smoking, and she asked later, well, why didn't you say anything about me smoking? And he said, I didn't know anything about it. He said, did you confess? Did you confess? And she said, yes, I confessed to that thing. He said, well, if God can't see it, how can he show it to his prophet?
Yeah.
You shouldn't fear these things. You shouldn't fear discernment.
Right.
When an evangelist comes in, he looks over the people and the things in their life start bringing up, the complexes and the devils they have start coming up. You shouldn't fear that. That is a cutting off of those spirits. Thank God that there's a power of God, that there's an evangelist that can come in and get right down to where you're living and tell you what's wrong and cut that thing off of you.
Yes,
but see, people get, instead of accepting that as a deliverance, they'll get mad at the preacher.
Right.
Instead of getting mad at the devil that's leading them into the temptation, into destruction, they'll get mad at the preacher.
Yep.
That poor man's been laying in bed and he gets up there and the Lord tells him to say something and he don't want to say it, but he's got to say it.
Right.
He just builds up, and finally it just comes out and then he goes, oh, I didn't want to say that.
Yep.
You ought to be thankful that the man of God is up there saying those things.
Right.
But what are we talking about? We're talking about the Word being made flesh. Not in Jesus' time. We got plenty of people that believe in a historic Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you this humorous little story as an illustration to let you know how some people, the state that they're in. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I was an alcoholic. I'll just go back and tell you a few things in my life. And Brother Tommy Morris, he preached here 2 or 3 years ago. And he mentioned a few things about it. But he was preaching one night and the power of discernment came. And I was 17 years old and I was sitting in the back. And I'd rejected the Lord. And I was coming because Dad made me come, and I got me a little girlfriend in the church, and I was kissing around on her. I'm just laying my heart out here, kissing around on this girl and doing things, drinking and smoking and doing things like that. I didn't know anybody knew. And Brother Tommy's up here, he's preaching, and the conviction was whipping around, and people was being delivered, and Satan was being cast out of people, and people was coming to the altar, and all of a sudden the discernment come around, and I seen it zero right in on me. And he told me where I was parked and who I was with and what was going on and all of that, and I got mad. I was denying it. And he was sitting there, and he said, and the little girlfriend, she was in the church there, and he turned to her, and he said, he don't love you. So he sits there and he whispers that he loves you and he's just trying to get you to go further and further. And I was getting madder and madder. And he said, just wait till the next little blonde comes along. And he'll, you know, he's just going through all of that things. And I got mad and I stood up and I walked out. Thank God for a mama. Mm-hmm. I had a mama back here in the cry room and she saw me. There was a big window there and I had a speaker. And I was in that back bench and she could see my head. And she see me stand up and she see me go out and she... And I went the different direction from where the restroom was, so she knew what was going on. And just as I walked by that room, the arm, little skinny arm, reached out and grabbed me and pulled me in there. And she said, son, please don't leave. She said, I know you're mad. I know this hurts. She said, but Brother Branham said that somebody got mad and left. And they just cast their whole life aside. She said, I can't stand it. So I sat down beside her in the cry room and suffered through the rest of the service. And I went out. And I didn't ever come back for a long time. And my wife that I have now, when we were engaged, and I brought her up there on Mother's Day one day, and I had the same old feelings. It was 12 years later before the Lord ever dealt with me again. I didn't see anything. I didn't feel any. I've always been spiritual all my life. Even when I was before that time, when I was a youth, I would see dreams and visions and discernments and these things, and all of that went away. And so I go out in the world and I decide that when I want to get married, I want to find a wife that doesn't know anything about the message, because I don't want to have to fight that. I knew if I married this one girl that I liked there, that she gave her heart to God. If I married her, that she'd be bugging me about going to church. And I wasn't going to do that. So I left the church and went out there, and I got to thinking, well, I want a wife like my dad has. What I wanted was a Holy Ghost filled wife without the Holy Ghost. So I got to looking and looking, and I made some girls, and made this girl, and I never could settle. And I met a girl. She's my wife to this day. And looked her the night I met her, she had a wedding dress on. Her daddy got married, and she was one of the bridesmaids. And she got out of the truck, and I saw her walk by, and I thought, she looks nice in that wedding dress. And my mind started going back. These things that I was trying to repress, Brother Branham was talking about a bride, and the story about the man from Chicago coming and seeing the little girl throw out the dishwater, and all those things come up in my mind. I was trying to get rid of them, and I asked her out. She was a good, clean woman. You know how hard it is to find a good, clean woman outside the ranks of the message?
Right.
It's a rare, rare occasion. If God didn't do it, you won't find her.
That's right.
But anyway, I married her, and I was happy, and she didn't know anything about Brother Branham, didn't know anything about the message, and I was happy. And one day she come home from Mom and Dad's house, and she come down there, and she sat down, and she looked at me. She had a funny look on her face, and she said, we've been married about 4 years, and she said, who's Brother Brown? I said, Brother Brown? I don't know no Brother Brown. And she said, yeah, your mom and dad's got a picture of him. I said, a picture of Brother Brown? She said, yeah, right there in the living room. He's got that, he's holding a Bible like this. And I said, oh. I said, you mean Brother Branham? Yeah, Brother Branham. She said, tell me about Brother Branham. And I got to thinking, and I couldn't tell her anything about it. That night I laid down in my bed and I drank and I'd smoked and done all of these bad things, just anything that you can do. And the worst thing in my life that I ever did, I didn't tell my wife about the message of the hour. My brother-in-law told her about the message of the hour. And my mom and my dad sat down and explained it to her. Next thing I know, she's going to church. Well, I thought, well, that's good. I want my children to go to church. So every Sunday morning they'd go to church, and she'd come back, and everything was good, and she was getting to be, she was even better. Every week she just got to be a better wife and more humble, and this is working out pretty good. I got me a Holy Ghost-filled woman without the Holy Ghost. Well, time rocked on, and she had a skirt on and it wasn't Sunday. I scratched my head and I didn't say nothing. Well, then a few days later she had a skirt on again. And the pants got less and less, and then one day she bagged them up and she took them out to the car. I said, what are you doing? She said, I can't wear them no more. I said, why not? She said, I don't feel right about it. She said, I don't know what it is. She said, every time, she said, they're in my, she said, at first I could put them on and I'd feel bad, but she said, then I got to where I couldn't even put them on. She said, so I just left them in the drawer. She said, and then it got to, she said, I was laying in bed and they was in the drawer, and she said, I couldn't even sleep because they was in the drawer. She had to take them out of the drawer and put them in a different room.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm scratching my head and I'm saying my worst fears are coming to life. Because I know that once she finds the realities of this gospel, she's not going to be able to stay the same. She's not going to be able to be a worldly woman and stay in the gospel of the message of the hour.
Yeah, right.
Something had to change in her. And I slowly watched the Holy Ghost come, and her hair got longer, and her dresses got, it was just dresses all the time, and she threw the pants away and all the shorts and all of those things. And one day, I was out, there was an old country church, or there was an old man that lived out in the church, he lived out in the country. He used to preach at our church. He kind of got away from the message a little bit. And I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I went over there. And he just started discerning my heart. I gave my heart to the Lord. I went home, that was on a Saturday night, and he said, promise me, son, you'll be in church in the morning. I said, I'll be church tomorrow morning. So I went home, I laid in bed, everything was different. I laid there all night long, thinking about things and just praising the Lord and everything. And I finally went to sleep, and I woke up about 5 o'clock the next morning. I was laying in bed, and I was thinking, well, I got to go work on that old house today. And I thought, well, I got to go to church too. I thought, well, I'll just go to church tonight instead of this morning. I promised that man I'd go to church. And what I didn't realize is when a man's got the Holy Ghost and he's discerning you and you break up a promise, you're not promising that man. You're promising God. When a Holy Ghost filled man is standing before you, it's not God, it's not man standing before you.
Yeah.
When Ananias and Sapphira came in,
right.
They wasn't lying to Peter and Paul.
Yeah.
They was lying to the Holy Spirit. And and he told her, he said, the footfalls of the men that carried your husband out is coming for you. Because you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And Brother Branham said that the days of Ananias and Sapphira are today's day. So anyway, I was satisfied. I satisfied my mind with that. And it's so, isn't it funny how quick we can fall?
Yeah.
From one night to the morning. And so I laid that down. I was satisfied. I went back to sleep. And I had a dream. And that old house I was working in, I was rewiring up in the attic. And I was dead. I was laying there dead in that attic, and my wife had come looking for me, and I could hear them going through the house hollering for my name, and I was in the attic, and I was dead. And I woke up with a start, and the Lord said, "You'll die." I said, "Yeah, but I'm saved." And he said, "But you'll die." And so I got up that morning, I went to church. Everything was a fairy tale after that, Brother Tony. No. What I found out was I joined an army.
Amen.
But I didn't join an army where I have to fight. Mm-hmm. I joined an army where we're equipped.
Right.
We have the armor. We have the shield of faith. And we have the sword of the word.
Yes.
So as time progressed and I went through changes and became a new man. Well, that Monday that I went back to work, I didn't have to tell anybody. I had all the everything ready. I was going to tell them this and that. And I walked in the door and people looked at me and said, "What happened to you?" Never said a word.
Yeah.
"What happened to you?" And I started telling them about the amazing power of the grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I got to tell them about Jesus Christ is he's alive today. He's just as real as he was when he was walking in flesh on the shores of Galilee. He's walking around in a little town called Walnut Ridge, Arkansas. And so I got to be known as the preacher at work. And whenever we'd eat, I'd always say grace. And well, one day this young man, he said, "I want to say grace." I said, "Okay, you say grace." So we all bow our head. We're there at work and, you know, just anybody's there. My faith is on display. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So this young man, he bows his head and he goes, "Dear little baby Jesus." And I thought, that's what the world thinks of Jesus. This little infant baby Jesus laying in a manger. And I'm afraid that people in the message, when they think of Christ, they think of this little baby Jesus. You see, the baby Jesus is not in a manger.
Right.
He's in my heart.
Amen.
And he's coming into full power,
yep.
Not less power.
Amen.
If you come to the music, and I know I may seem a little hard. Maybe in the morning the Lord will let us preach something uplifting. But I want to read you one more quote. Just in case, I believe everybody in here believes in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, Satan is going to come against you.
That's right.
People's going to come and tell you that you don't have to have holiness anymore.
Uh-huh.
I've been told that by message people.
Sure.
That we don't have to have holiness anymore. That the way we dress don't matter. I've been told that by message people. And they're going to come to you. If they're bold enough to come to ministers and pastors, they'll come to you. But I want you to listen to what Brother Branham said. You tell me that you've been born again, and you do not believe that divine healing is a promise of God, and you do not believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for the people today, then I have to say that your birth was of the wrong spirit. Because the Holy Ghost said that this promise is unto you and to your children and to them that is as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You are accepting it by intellectual conception. People are taking somebody else's word for it, and they don't have the discernment. They cannot discern between right and wrong. That's from a message that he preached called Discerning the Lord's Body. He said, if you don't believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for the people today, then I have to say that your birth was of the wrong spirit. Amen. Let's stand. What's wrong with the message of the hour today? There's nothing wrong with the message of the hour. Right. Message of the hour is a perfect word brought to a perfect people.
Right.
Those people will come into that perfection. What's happening? In Anointed Ones at the end time, Brother Branham said it. He reads the scripture, that Jesus says that there will rise false Christs and false prophets.
Yeah.
Right.
I've looked at that for years and years, and I've looked at that false prophets. I look to it as prophetic men. But Brother Branham, he breaks it down. He said those false prophets are teachers.
Right.
False teachers.
Mm-hmm.
There is a true teacher.
Yeah.
Right.
And teaching is the placing of the sons of God.
Yeah.
That's right.
The sons of God. But see, the sons of God have been transformed. If there's no change, there's no sonship.
Yeah.
He said those false prophets are anointed by the real anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the only place for the real anointing of the Holy Ghost is in the message of the hour now. The church ages are over.
Yeah, right.
The rest of them they're making it up as they go. That's why the holiness, me and Brother Tony was talking back there, we was talking about the holiness Pentecostal. That's why the holiness Pentecostals, if you've noticed in the last 10 years or so, they're not so much holiness anymore.
Right.
There's a few hangers on. But we've got a church in Walnut Ridge, we got four or five of them holiness churches, and one of them is now teaching, there's one that's teaching holiness. The rest of them, they've completely let go. They said holiness was for another day. And you say, when you see the same spirit working in a message church, it's working in the worldly churches.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
And we got to combat that.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
You know, we're really in an hour of a showdown.
Amen.
We're talking about how that at harvest time everything comes to fruit.
Yeah.
Everything. And that's why everything has to come out of the closet. Everybody's come out of the closet with all their movements and all their things, and all the nations are rising up to declare exactly what's on their mind and what they want to get done. And it's harvest time.
It's harvest.
That means it's a showdown time, right? And so we, as the bride of Christ, we know there's a showdown between us and the devil. Everything that he's worked on all these years is going to be defeated. He is defeated, but we're going to have to actually manifest that and put flesh on it. So what the brother's telling you tonight is that there is a real experience in the Holy Spirit. It always seems so odd to me when I see people leave the message that have said in services and they've heard wonderful testimonies like you just heard about the reality of God and how God has his hands on the lives of people, and no matter what happens, they go whatever route they go in their life, and he brings them back and orchestrates circumstances. It just seems odd to me they forget those things, but that's the way it is. Satan wants to take you out, and on Monday he causes you to forget the awesome testimony you heard on Sunday or something like that. But And I would like to encourage each one of you just to they show that sign of a light going off in their head, to re-realize that there's no way you can fully grasp just how awesome our God really is. And He's not defeated, and His people's not defeated. So between now and body change time, we're just going to move up.
Right
on up. That's all there's to it. And I worked outside all day today, and my heart just burned within me, because our God is real.
Amen.
And I'm glad that He touched me. You know, I'm not everything I'd like to be, but I tell you one thing for sure, I am not what I used to be. I'm far from it. I make mistakes just like everybody else does, but I find within me something that won't let me stay spot where I'm not walking the way I should. And we fall. We have battles every day. We understand that. But we just want to rally around the word, around the truth. He was talking about how the name of William Branham was an offense. Those people need to be taught right. Those people, it needs to be preached right to them, because obviously the message of the hour, the name of William Branham, the prophetic ministry he had, the Son of Man being revealed, they didn't take it back to the Bible for them people. Because I can see William Branham in the Bible. Not the name William Branham, but what God sent him here to do. And so those people need to be taught right. They need to be preached the gospel right, so they would know that was that. And they would no longer be as offended by the name. I'm not offended at the name of Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You understand what I'm saying? John the Baptist, Paul. I'm not offended in those names, and I'm not offended in the name of William Branham.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad God sent
Amen.
Something?
Amen.
You realize that God sent, the way the pattern worked was that God would send, it's unto the angel of the church of. The message was unto the angel. I'm not twisting scriptures. The message was unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. He got the message to come from God.
Right.
And you know where we get it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
From Him.
Right.
Amen. Are they out there in the world going to get it? Not if they don't recognize that.
Right. Right.
The Bible said so. You see what I'm saying? People get offended. We say, well, you say if you don't believe what you're bringing, you're not going to make it. The Bible said it was unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. See, so those people shouldn't be offended, right? They should not be offended of the very one that God has channeled His end time message through. They should not be offended.
Amen.
So there's a problem right there, just like the brother was talking about. See, he also mentioned how that, I forget exactly what he said, but it reminded me how the Bible, throughout all the ages, that they fought and killed trying to keep the Bible out of the hands of the people. And I think most of the older people remember that, know that to be true. But I think it'd be good for our young people to know this, because the same devil that was fighting throughout the dark ages and all the years to keep the Bible out of the hands of the people, that's the same devil that wants to keep you from reading the Bible.
That's right.
And you need to know why he don't want you reading that book.
Amen.
And so you can get your parents to do it for you, but there's a documentary you can go get. You can buy it and look it up, and you can watch it on YouTube. It's called The Forbidden Book. And it's a documentary about all the people through the ages that fought to have that Bible in print, and what they suffered at the hand of the Catholic Church because they wanted the people to have the Bible. Because you know what? The Catholic Church knew that if they kept the Bible out of the hands of the people, they could keep their power over them. They keep them pushed down and in the bondage of the system. So he mentioned the renewing of your mind, right? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get into the Word.
Yes.
Get into your Bible.
Yes.
Listen, have you read your Bible today? Have you read your Bible this week?
Oh.
Well, shame on you.
Amen.
Right? Have you listened to a sermon? Shame on you. Okay? We've got the Word of God present that we can listen to it.
Yes.
In so many forms. There's no reason why we can't have at least an hour a day of that message playing in our ears. At least an hour a day. And I work I work and I get at least an hour of preaching every day, at least.
Yep.
My family can vouch for that because they hear me all the time. When I'm out working today, I got this thing here and it's playing sermons. Because I want to know truth. I want to know truth because truth will set you free. And so, you know, Brother Daniel ministered Wednesday night and he ministered about dark and about light. And the brother was ministering there a while ago and he's talking about that discernment going on. And that brother you talked about, Brother Morris, he's the one I mentioned in the back. I didn't tell you his name. But he's the one I said prophesied to me. It was him. But you see, that light was coming around. Satan likes to, he has strongholds in darkness. He likes to keep things hidden.
Yeah.
So he gets something worked in your life and tricks you and gets you bound with something in your life, and he wants to keep that under. But one of the best things that happened is for it to come to light. And so God's even got the gifts of the Spirit to turn around and come around and reveal that thing and bring it out into the open. And many people will tell you, as soon as that happens, that load leaves them. Because now it's all brought out to the open. And so you want to be in the walking of the light. See? And so Brother Daniel ministered Wednesday night about carrying the light. We're bearers, I forget what he titled it, but we're keepers of the light, right? We got to keep our own gospel. We got to keep our own gospel clean. Right? We got to keep it clean and keep that standard. You remember, and I know that you've probably heard this, maybe just for this brother's sake. You remember, Brother Brown talked about his mother. Said she didn't have very many dreams all of her life, but when she did have one, they were right. That's what he said. And she had the dream about Brother Branham standing there. I think he was preaching, but he said there was three steps that led up to this highway that took them to heaven. Them three steps was justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And these steps led up to this highway that took them to heaven. This is the dream she had, and he said it was always right. And he said there was a woman stood there with her high heel shoes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said, I'm going to show you that I can walk this highway with high heel shoes on. Now, Brother Branham ended it saying, he said, see the daughters of Zion at the end time. But I want to ask you, what road was that? It wasn't Luther's.
No.
Wasn't Wesley's.
Yeah.
It wasn't Pentecost, but those movements led to that highway. Right. And what highway is it that takes you to heaven?
Uh-huh. Right.
What's the highway that's going to give you a rapture?
Yeah.
See, it's that stage after Pentecost, which
right.
is the message. The message is here to give us rapturing faith.
Yeah.
And she thought she could walk that message highway with high heel shoes on.
Yeah.
Right? And she started up that highway, and she did pretty good at first.
Yeah.
Did pretty good early on.
Yeah.
But later when the message, where it really comes down to the wire, and we're at showtime, where it's really going to come to a showdown.
Yeah.
Right? She began to reel, and she fell off. Yeah. And screamed as she went off into the...
Yeah.
Into the...
Never heard of this.
Right? This is what he said. So, he just plainly said that in the midst of an end time message, there would be a movement where sisters would think they could walk this message highly and still be saved. But the problem is that sister never had the message in her. In the dream, because she'd have never been doing that. See? So, the circumstances of the world is going to flush out where we are in our walk.
Right?
We can't play. We can't pretend.
Right?
Can't pretend. We might could pretend for a while, do just fine for a while, but you see, the hour is going to flush out.
That's right.
It's the showdown.
Yeah.
See? The showdown declares who's got it and who doesn't. But I can tell you for sure, saints, by the ministry of the word, you can have it. You can have what you need. But you gotta do something like Brother Branham said. You can't just sympathize with the message.
Right.
You gotta receive it into you. I heard it today. You can take medicine, be sick for something. You can have medicine. And that medicine can be exactly what you need. And you can know that that message, that word, is that, that medicine is what you need. And you can know it and believe it. And even you can even testify to it and say, you know what? This is what I need. But if you never take that into you, you'll never bear what that medicine's going to do for you. You've got to receive that Holy Ghost into your life. You've got to receive that move of God and that power of God into your life. I believe it. Let's just bow our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've heard your truth tonight, and believe, God, that you spoke to our brother, put that sermon tonight on his heart. Believe, God, that it has spoken things that has come into the hearts of your people, and that each one of us has seen places, Lord, where you're asking us to step up higher, Lord. God, I know that you're a gentleman. And I know that you woo your people. You're not going to force people to do anything. But Lord, you're a gentleman and you woo us. I pray, God, tonight that as each one of us has heard something that pricked our heart, Lord, that we would surrender that part of our heart that was pricked, Lord. Whatever it is that Satan has done, Lord, as your message tonight has brought light upon it, I pray, God, that your people would have the grace be ministered to them, Lord, that they would surrender to you that portion, Lord, that you have shown to them. I ask, God, that you would do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we leave this place tonight, we know that our walk with you is closer. I ask, God, that you would do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song, Jesus, the Light of the World. Service in the morning. I believe the Lord will continue on to speak to our hearts. And some of the other people that were not here tonight that drive a distance will be here. The Lord will speak to them. Did you enjoy it?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I did. I certainly did. You know, I've said this before, and I don't know, but I don't. When I have visiting ministers in, I don't discuss anything with them personally, with our own assembly or anything like that. So I don't discuss it with other ministers anyway, period, whether it's before service or not. But, you know, I've told you many times, I always look forward to having a visiting minister because I know that it comes straight from the Lord, right? No intervention any other way, just comes from the Lord. So you take what you heard tonight, believe it come from God, and he's right. They, you know, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Ghost. It wasn't to Peter. Amen. So we want to receive everything God sends our way. Amen. God bless you. As Brother Tim sings another song, we'll let you go in the name of the Lord. See you tomorrow at 10:30. Amen.
Lift him up.
Yes,
lift him up.
He said it.
Him.